This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. With me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. And Chris was back where he belongs at exit 16W, watching the first day of training camp. So we figured we'd drop the pod today. Chris, I'll be honest with you, man. I was as excited as probably most people reading the tweets today. You know, look, it came through Twitter. It seems like it's great to be back. I don't want to speak for you, but opening day of training camp, I mean, you could feel the excitement through the tweets, my friend.
Yeah, with the fans being back, it definitely provided, man, the excitement. Because the last few years, it was not dull, but it wasn't the same. You know, it wasn't the same as the fans.
Yeah.
You know, being there. Because, you know, we saw a couple of nice plays today, and the people were roaring, man. You know, right. You know, the play, you could see the players getting pumped up from the fans. You know, so it was a pack, you know, it was pretty packed house. It was good to have everybody back. It really was. And Dable and Shane talked about that in the pre-practice presser, and you could tell they meant it. Like, we're so happy to have these people back. And, you know, we'll get into a couple of things that happened, but, you know, by now I'm sure everybody knows. If not, they'll look it up. Kadarius Toney made an acrobatic catch in the end zone, and the crowd just went wild. The players went wild. And so it was good. It felt like old times again, you know, training camp, the media. We're all on the sideline. I guess everybody figured that one out quick when they saw some of my videos. We're all on the sideline right next to everything. And so it was good to be, you know, it was good to be getting training camps rolling. The 2022 season has started. And we have some stuff to talk about. But Jerry, let me ask you this. You know, reading the tweets today.
Mm-hmm.
What came to you? Let me ask you. That's not a fair enough question. That's kind of a vague question for you. But let me ask you this. Reading the tweets today, did you feel pretty good about the rookie class?
Yes, and I'll tell you what I felt best about was the, and you made it clear, was the motion, the movement on offense. But yes, I mean, you see Wandale Robinson catch a pass. Thibodeau would have had touchdown, a sack.
Yeah.
You know, you saw Neal in action. Like, it just, look, it's very early, but you have to feel good about this rookie class right now, dude. That's part of the excitement of all this.
Right. You know, I was curious if you got the feel of that. I know I put something on Twitter before, you know, that I was pretty impressed with the way the rookie class competed. But, you know, like, look, what they did today, they did like individual drills, they did position drills, and then they worked on the red zone, which Dable told us, you know, before practice, they're going to work on the red zone. Particularly the high red. Now, I consider the high red from the 10-yard line in. Some people around the NFL like to consider that the low red, whatever. Whatever you hear me say high red, it's going to be the 10-yard line in to the end zone, to the goal line. So, and that's what they worked on a lot, on the 5-yard line, the 10-yard line. It wasn't even like the 15, 20. It was the high red. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of work in that, Jerry. You know, as we all know, the Giants have been pathetic in the red zone the last few years. Pathetic. 31st, 32nd, 31st.
Absolutely pathetic, yes.
Absolutely pathetic. So Dable attacked it right off the bat. They got into it. And what we saw is a ton of motion, bro. I was just on the sideline, and I just said, man, you could see the Kansas City / Buffalo influence already.
Yeah.
Receivers in motion. Saquon caught a touchdown. He went into motion, ran a pattern at from the slot area, did a little choice route. Boom. Daniel hit him, touchdown. Receivers coming all in motion, do that little circle around the quarterback, go back out to the flat. That Tyreek Hill, the Marcus Robinson, guys like that in Kansas City love to do. I saw it and I was like, oh man, that's Kafka right there. That's Kansas City right there, you know. Wandale Robinson lined up in the backfield, goes in motion. Saquon in the backfield goes in motion to the right. He lines up in a slot. Wandale's in motion. So motion, pre-snap motion. You saw a ton of it today, Giants fans. You're going to see a ton of it in this offense. And Jerry, just watching it, the red zone offense today, it was like I was like worlds apart from the last few years, bro. Like it wasn't even remotely close to what we saw the last 2 years. There was moving parts all over the place, dude. And you could see Jerry, just one last thought. I'll let you jump in.
Go ahead.
You could just see how much of an influence, how big Saquon Barkley is going to be in this offense, receiving, running. And I'm telling you now, man, this Wandell Robinson and you saw Kadarius Toney, they're both going to be a big part of this offense, especially down in that red zone. So, Jerry, it was like I just landed from another planet, dude. And holy crap, look at this, because the planet I was on a few years ago didn't have this type of offense, man. The point being was the Giants were from another galaxy the last few years compared to this, offense we saw, red zone, what we're seeing, what we saw today, and what you're going to see all summer.
I was with a friend looking at my phone, and I'm going, oh, Chris is talking about motion. Thank God there's finally pre-snap movement. And my friend said, well, he's not a Giants fan. He goes, wasn't there always movement in training camp? Isn't what they do? Like, dude, have you watched the last 2 years with Garrett and Kitchens and Dudge? It's just go out and turn around. That's the offense. Like, I'm amazed by how you wouldn't have that, right? Like, you see it today, and it's day one. Nobody's going to the Super Bowl, but these are the steps we have to take to be a productive team and to be successful in offense. And you see it today, and you just can't help but get excited about it. Like, wow, we're actually into the 21st century now in passing offense. Now it's a passing attack. So I think coupled with the rookies, I think people are just as excited about the play calling and the schemes as much as they are about, some of the potential on this team talent-wise.
Yeah, I think, Jerry, the first preseason game, where they play New England up in Foxborough in a couple of weeks, and, the first time they get in the red zone, hopefully it's with the first-team offense. Maybe they could move the ball, whatever. They're probably going to get one drive, whatever, that first game. But I think you'll see some of it there. You're going to see some of it right there. And people that go to the training camp practices, I mean, that's all you heard was people yelling, look at the motion. You hear it, you're going to see it, everybody. People that go and people, and then when the preseason games start, obviously when the regular season games start, you're going to see a different type of offense, a lot of motion, dude.
I've made the prediction that in the red zone that when they throw a fade, whether it's complete or not, there's going to be a standing ovation. I'm telling you right now, first game at MetLife, when they see motion on the Giant offense, you're going to hear a roar from the crowd. I'm telling you, it might be preseason, but I think week two against Carolina, when you start seeing motion, there's going to be a roar from the crowd. I just got chills, dude. I just got goosebumps.
Right. Especially Carolina, because they might not whip out the whole bag of tricks in preseason, just not to put anything on. But that first home game against Carolina, you're going to see it. Obviously, you're going to see it in Tennessee, but the fans will see it in front of them that first home game, and I think people are going to really like it.
Jones may have to take a timeout because the crowd's too loud. So go ahead.
No. So they were pretty loud today, Jerry. I tell you, but they were connected to somebody's plays and somebody's motion. Yeah. What was going on in the red? Look, it was a lot of that Kansas City thing. Receiver in motion, circles around the quarterback, goes back, goes back the other way again, and breaking out into the flat, or he's catching a little flat. A pass in the flat down there, trying to get the ball quickly to guys, let them do their thing. Saquon and Jerry, look, Daniel Jones could run the ball. He has turnover issues running the ball. We understand he's got to work on some things, but you have to be a friggin' moron to not utilize this kid's athleticism, his legs.
Yeah.
And I told you this. I said, dude, I know Dable said, well, we're going to gradually work up to, Daniel running maybe a little bit, structured runs and all that stuff, it would be just like pretty improv runs. Oh, he's out of the pocket. He's got to take off. No. All right. You saw it already today. I put it on Twitter right from the five. I think it was the 5 yard line, right from the 5 yard line in the shotgun. Structure, boom, design draw, Daniel goes right, touchdown, which would have been a touchdown. Even if there was a real situation, Jerry, it would have been a touchdown.
Great. You know what was great about that play? Barkley holding up number one as Jones did it. That was pretty cool. So seems like there's excitement, that's all. Yeah.
So you got to play. Oh, there was excitement, Jerry. There was no question it was excitement, bro.
Yeah.
So Brian Daboll's going to play to this kid's strengths, what he does well. And Brian Daboll did that with Josh Allen. So many times Buffalo was in the red, and they had structured, designed runs with Josh Allen. Why? Because the kid's 6'5 and he can run.
Right, right.
Well, Daniel's what, 6'5?
About 6'4, 6'5.
6'4, 6'5, and he can run.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, he's not as big as strong as Josh, but he's still a big kid, Daniel.
Yep.
And he can run. Okay? And you, like I said a few seconds ago, you have to be an effing moron not to utilize that. And Brian Daboll's no moron. Okay? So you're going to see it. And why not? And why not? You know, you have to go with what you have. And that's part of Daniel's arsenal, that the kid could run. He could take off, you know? Now, we also understand that he has ball security issues when he has taken off. He's also been injured when he's taken off. He missed the last, what was it, Jerry, six games the last year, five games?
Yeah.
When he got blasted against the Eagles.
Yeah.
And the time he didn't get down.
Yeah.
So he has to get better at that. Now, it's going to be 4 years in. Can he get better at it? Well, we're hoping. Does he? We'll find out, you know?
Now, it's one practice since you're on Jones. How did he look overall to you?
Well, he made some good throws.
Mm-hmm.
Then he made a bad read. You know, he thought he had Saquon and a little out at the goal line, and Donnay Holmes read his eyes all the way and picked him off.
Now, there looked like there was a lot of confusion on that play.
They weren't on the same page. Look, Saquon in the pre-snap had his hands up. He looked like he wasn't. Now, look, these things are going to happen. The defense is going to be ahead of the offense the first few weeks. The offense is learning the system. There's going to be confusion at times. This is part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel also had another throw on another out, too. I think it was Slayton. I wasn't sure Slayton. No, maybe it was Wandell Robinson that Adoree Jackson should have picked off.
Yeah.
And he could have went the other way.
Yeah.
And then Daniel made it. Look, and then Kadarius Toney makes a fabulous, goes up in a corner, comes left hand, brings it down, touchdown. And you know, everybody was talking about Kadarius' Toney grab. Rightfully so. It was a fantastic grab, right? But there's also another part of that, and I put it on Twitter before because I was sitting, when I got home, I'm sitting, I'm thinking about the play, and I'm breaking down the play in my head. And I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute, Chris. What the hell you doing, you jackass? It was also a great throw.
Right.
Daniel dropped it right where it should have been.
Yeah.
So I forgot about Daniel in my original tweets because we were all excited about Kadarius' great grab and all that stuff. You know, and everybody was hugging him, his teammates, you know, Leonard Williams jumped in there congratulating him, the whole deal. And then I said, well, wait a minute. Daniel also put it in a great spot because Aaron Robinson had great coverage on it.
Yeah,
it was just one of those tip your hat to the opponent. He made a great back shoulder, and Kadarius came down. You know, got it was left, he brought it down, but a great throw by Daniel too, bro. You know,
when he caught that, there's a kind of weird question, but I'm just curious as to the vibe of this team. Like, what was the feel when he caught that? Like, what was the reaction of everybody?
Eruption.
Yeah, nice.
It was like, I'll tell you the feel of it. It was like, this kid is fantastic,
and we got him. He's on our
team. And we got him.
Yeah, nice.
It was like, I know people are down on Toney, the whole thing last year. I told you this, Jerry, a couple weeks ago. I'm going to tell you again, brother.
Yeah.
This offense is going to run through him. This kid's going to be targeted a ton of times. Let's pray he stays healthy.
Yeah.
A couple of teammates told me today on the side, kid's dedicated. The kid is working his butt off. I can tell you that, folks. I'm not going to tell you who told me, but you know what I mean? Like, so it kind of like maybe it wasn't 100% dedication last year, the gist of it that I got.
Yeah.
Okay. But the kid is serious, bro. This kid, I'm telling you, it was a feel. It was like both sides erupt. Even the defensive players jumped up like congratulating, and they got burnt for a touchdown. Aaron Robinson looked like he couldn't believe the kid made the catch. Toney made the catch.
Yeah.
I yelled at the ref on the sideline, he's in. Because the ref kind of, it was right in front of me, Jerry. You know? The ref kind of looked down at first like, did he have, I'm like, he's got 2 feet in. I'm yelling on the side. And the ref's not because of me. I see the ref look at him. He's like, yep, touchdown. You know, he looks at the other guy. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
It was like, and you saw, I'm sure you saw video of it. I'm sure Giants.com has video of it and all that stuff. Just both sides, Jerry. It was like an eruption. Like, holy shit. You know, Kadarius Toney just made a great catch. And, you know, this kid, we got this kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, so folks, I know people, like I said, I'm very negative about Kadarius. All I'm going to tell you is that this kid is going to be really, he's going to have a very good year for the Giants. God willing, he stays healthy, brother.
Chris, do you think there's the element of him realizing or knowing, maybe the coaching staff made it clear to him, or you can just tell from the play designs, that there's the incentive for him to get serious, not only because he's a professional, but because the offense is going to run through him. Like, he has to be more excited about this offense, Chris, than what was there last year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane said, listen, whatever happened last year, you know, you got injured, you know, you did, he produced when he played, Jerry, right?
He produced when he played. Yeah.
But he had, you know, he suffered some off-field stuff going on. I think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane said, hey, Kadarius, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be one of the key parts of this offense, dude.
Yeah.
We're going to be feeding you the ball in all different ways.
Right.
You know what I mean? In all different ways. So you should be pumped up about this offense because guess what, young man? You're going to be a huge part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I was glad to see Jerry, you know, I know yesterday they put out the pup list. I was curious to see who was going to be on it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was glad to see Kadarius was not on it, right?
Yeah.
So right. He'll be there from the get-go. You know, like Blake Martinez, he wasn't on it, but he only had a few. He was very limited today. They're going to work him in very slowly, you know? But they didn't really work Tony in slowly. Tony got a good workload in today.
Right.
And Thibodeau got a good workload in today, you know? But obviously, Blake coming off that serious injury is not going to go out there and get a heavy workload. They're going to work him in slowly. But it was a good sign that Blake was not on a pump list. And he wasn't in a red jersey today, and he was out there, you know, Jerry? Yeah. So he's going to slowly work as well. I don't even expect him to see – Jerry, I'm not even sure he's going to play in a preseason game. He might maybe that third game get some reps, but I could see him practicing, maybe get some snaps on the preseason games, and then be ready to roll for Tennessee, you know? Galladay, another guy that had the red jersey on in the OTAs and everything, he was out there working too, so.
How did he look?
I think he had a drop. It was either him or Slayton.
He had a drop.
Didn't do much. But the Daniel Bellinger fans, that was a pleasant surprise this morning. I arrived at the facility.
Yeah.
And they told us that Bellinger's off the pup list and he's going to be practicing. So that was a pleasant surprise. And he was, you know, they had him working in with the ones, you know, doing his red zone drills.
That's awesome.
So. Hey, look, I think the Giants, Jerry, you know, they got big plans for this Bellinger. You know, I'm just getting the feel they really like this kid, bro. You know, you're going to see him involved. But, Jerry, just getting back to the rookies, you know, so I asked you that question because, you know, I put some things about the rookies and all that. I was curious how you took my tweets, and obviously you took them the way I meant it, is that you felt pretty good about the rookie class, right? So far, one practice, but you looked at it and go, well, you know what? At least Chris is not putting, well, Neil just fell down, got beat again. Cordell Flott just got roasted. He went one way, see what the other way, you know, and all that stuff. So Cordell Flott makes two nice plays today. Evan Neal, twice I saw it. I might have missed a few more. He seemed to recognize slot blitzes real quick. Rode his man to the outside of the pocket. Okay?
Nice.
So the first day of training camp, it was a positive for him. Right?
Yes.
Wandell Robinson does a little corner route, toast Xavier McKinney. Touchdown. Good sign. Right? So, I mean, you know, like I said, I just mentioned Flott. Who am I missing? Oh, Thibodeau would have had a sack in real time.
Yeah.
He's flashing out, you know, he's doing his thing out there. So dude, it's one practice. I get it, but I have to report what I see. And I think fortunately, Jerry, I didn't report bad stuff about this rookie so far. Right. I mean, it was
no, you reported what we expected on offense with, you know, looking a little more exotic and they're contributing and Tony made a play and, you know, I saw Barkley almost also came down with a one-handed grab in the end zone. Yeah. Does he look, you know, back? I know it's one practice, but what you saw today, is he back to his rookie form, you think, health-wise?
Well, you know, Jerry, health-wise, yeah. I mean, you know, I've been reporting it this offseason, man. This kid, You know, Jerry, he's ready to roll, dude. That's all I could say. He's 100% healthy, Jerry. He's 100% confident.
Right.
And I think this offense is, you know, I think Dable's going to make sure he gets his touches, brother.
Yeah.
You know? I'm thinking of somebody. I'm sorry, Jerry. The third-round pick, Joshua Zito, he was with the seconds a lot at left guard. Now,
yeah, I was going to ask you about him. I didn't know if you could see, like, with no pads on, I didn't know if you could see what he was doing. That's all.
Yeah, no, you can't really tell yet. We'll tell a little bit better when they throw pads on next week. But, you know, it's tough to tell that. But he was at left guard with the twos.
Interesting.
He was not a left tackle at any time today, which he was doing.
Yeah.
They had him OT. So I think, look, Lemieux right now was with the ones.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean he's going to be with the ones in September and, you know, and October. I think it's going to be a battle, Jerry. I think they're going to look at Azidio real hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be a camp battle between Azidio and Lemieux.
Yeah.
With Lemieux, right now, Lemieux is the lead horse. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, you know, we're going to see how this training camp progresses. And I think they, you know, they like this Azidio kid. And he's going to get some reps and all that stuff. And we'll see how it works out, you know. So,
before we get to the defense, I got to ask you a question. You asked Dable about the identity of the team, and Shane looked at you like, I don't know, like his jaws clenched up. The hell was that?
He was staring down on me, Shane, right? He was like, staring at me. I'm like, nice. I was having some fun with that, you know, but, you know, Dable,
I don't think he took his eyes off you the whole time.
Yeah, he was like staring at me, like, you know, like, you know, I was like, that was Joe staring at you. Did I ask something bad? You know, nah, he was doing. That's the way Shane is at times. He likes to have fun, but you know, he's studying us pretty hard. Shane, he's studying everybody when they ask questions. He's studying everybody pretty hard, and obviously you saw I had some fun with it on Twitter. You found out because he's like a 6 or 7 handicap, and from what I understand, and so I was having some fun saying he probably heard that he kicked the crap out of him on a golf course. Maybe he's trying to intimidate me, like a boxing match, you know, something like that. But nah, it's all tongue in cheek. It's all having fun. So yeah, but you know, it was funny. I did see that on a video. I'm like, man, Joe, Shane's staring at me hard here. What's
going to take his eyes you off me? Like, who the hell is that asking that? Why would he ask that question? You know, it's just funny. But I'll say this, and these are some of the things you look for, right? Like, it may be a small thing, Chris, but our GM is sitting next to the coach first practice of camp. Speaking to the media, you know what I mean? Like, that's big. You know, he didn't hide in the tower like the last guy and even the guy before him liked to do. You know, would show up twice a year and give the State of the Union. Well, we suck this year, but we're going to get better, and here's how. No, this guy's there. Like, I kind of like that. I don't need to be there every day, but I like him there more than twice a year. So,
look, I think we all know Gettleman disappeared last year. Right. Even when Shermer was here. And if you remember this, Jerry, in Sherman's last year, when Sherman was getting roasted every day,
hung him out to dry.
Gettleman, in the bye week, he didn't even come out and give Sherman a blow.
Right.
Like he did the year before.
Right.
And I was like, well, dude, you're the general manager. Take the hits. Give Pat Sherman a blow here.
Right.
Because this guy's getting, every day he's getting roasted. So would you want to come out and now you face the grilling, dude? But no. Gettleman hid.
Right.
Last year, Gettleman hid. Right?
Yep.
So, I mean, when adversity strikes, you see a man's character.
Yes.
So, I'm sorry. I'm not, you know, it's an old GM. I'm not going on some Dave Gettleman rant, but
no,
you mentioned the point of Joe Shane sitting next to his coach. And I get the feeling, A, it was like, all right, first, you get the feeling that he's going to be with this guy. That's his guy. And he's going to be with him through the good times and the bad.
Right. We're in this together.
Right, Jerry?
I, this was my choice. You know, we're in this together. I'm not hiding. Right. Like, I love that. I got to be honest. I love it.
Yeah. Right. And he's met with us a few times. And the first day of training camp, he's out there. And I wouldn't doubt if he comes out again at the end of camp, right before the season. I'm pretty sure we'll see him during the season, too. He looks like the type of guy. Is like, okay, I'm going to talk about why we're 0-7, or I'm going to talk about why we're 7-0.
Right.
Not go hide because you know the oven's getting hot here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't respect that at all.
Right.
And Pat Shermer, God bless him, We all know he's not an NFL head coach and never will be again. And, you know, it didn't work out for him. But, dude, the guy was getting killed every week. Give him a blow on a bye week. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Right, right.
But no, he hid. Yep. So, getting to your point, I don't see Joe Shane doing that. You know, he's right with his guy the first day, both answering questions, staring me down hard. I don't know what the
staring down reporters when they ask legitimate questions. Yeah. I can't imagine when they ask questions that are out of left field.
Oh, yes. That's that Pizzignano guy, huh? Yeah, all right. You think she's better than me on the golf? Yeah, watch this. Yeah. So, so I'm glad he was there. Glad he was there. And I expect to see him during the season, Jerry. I do. Yep. You know, I know the Giants' bye week is like the beginning of November or something. Jerry, I don't have the schedule in front of me. I think it's like the beginning of November. I expect to see him talk during the bye week. I expect to see him even before that, dude.
Yes. So. And again, dude, I don't need to see him every day, but it was refreshing to see like the things I took away from today. Like you said, the excitement about the rookies, the motion on offense. I saw it looked like excitement when Tony caught that pass. It was like a whole kind of team congratulations thing. Very excited. And the fact that our GM sat next to our head coach and faced the media. I thought that was great.
Yeah. Look, Jerry, if I became the general manager of the Giants tomorrow and I hired Jerry Foley and I knew you from Buffalo or whatever, Miami, me and you, kid, and I knew you like he knew him from Buffalo, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I ain't let you, you know, when the shit hits the fan, I'm not letting you hang out by yourself. Right. And I'm going to go hide.
Right.
Bullshit, dude.
Right, right.
This is your guy. You hired him. This is your guy.
Yep.
And I hate to say it because we all know John Mara is a good human being, right, Jerry? But we also know John Mara has made mistakes over the years.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, Jerry, but if I was the owner and I blame John, because John should have been like, Dave, what the F are you doing?
Get out there.
You haven't spoken to the media in all year. Get your ass. What am I paying you $1 million for? Get your ass out there.
Right.
Give that guy a blow. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Let Shermer go hang out. Let Shermer, you know, back in, you know, and last year with Joe Judge. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Totally.
And I'm sure Joe Judge last year was like, man, thanks a lot, dude. You know, we're losing games. I'm getting fried every week. Thanks, Dave. You gave me this shit roster, and now you're going to go hide, you know?
Yeah.
So it's two sides to every story is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Obviously, folks, I'm saying this because Jerry just mentioned, you know.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get you going. It's a refreshing thing.
No, because you know what? I don't like that, dude. Yes. I don't like what happened. And I mentioned this on previous podcasts, and I mentioned it before on Twitter.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. And, you know, and we all know Shermer wasn't head coach. Joe Judge, it didn't work out. But, dude, the guy that hired you, the guy, you know, should be there going down the Titanic with you. You know what I mean? Maybe it's me, Jerry, but I'm just, that's the way I feel. You know what I mean? And if John Mara should have stepped in and said, get your ass out there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So anyway, forget about that. You know, but Joe Shane, yes, was there with and I think that he always will be, dude. I that's the feeling I get. I could be wrong, but I think he always will be.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. All right, dude, let's get to the most, I was going to say the most exciting part of the team, but I don't know, man. After seeing the offense today, I got to be excited. I'm got to be honest with you, dude. I'm excited about both sides.
But, yeah, well, they made some plays. They didn't make some plays. Some balls hit the ground. Some confusion at times. So, but it was just the red zone too, Jerry. You know, tomorrow if they do some team drills, you know, starting on the 20, you know, using the whole field and all that, we'll see some more. But you know, just talking about some starters, you know, Aaron Robinson was on the outside, obviously with Adoree. Julian Love and Xay, you know, and McKinney. McKinney, you could see right off the bat, Jerry, McKinney wants to take the leadership role on his team.
Awesome.
Yeah, he wants to be a leader, a little vocal. Not like I've seen Xay the last few years. Usually Zay's pretty quiet, but you know what? Logan Ryan is gone now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was the leader on the back end, him and Peppers and all that, you know, they're both gone. So now it's Zay's time, bro. You know, it's Xavier McKinney's time to be that leader. And I think he's totally, you know, engrossed in being that leader. He wants to be that guy. Julian Love, look, he's another kid, bro. Nobody holding him up not anymore. You know, fourth year in the league. Looks like he's going to be the starting safety. Another guy I saw very vocal out there today. So, we talked about McKinney. I think McKinney's going to have a very big year, especially in his scheme, in Wink's scheme. And I'm glad to see he wants to be a leader out there in his third year now, Jerry. You know, in the NFL, Jerry, your third or fourth year, you're like that veteran status already. You know what I mean?
Right.
That fourth year, you know, this isn't like baseball and stuff. Like, you when you start hitting around that fourth year, you know,
right.
You know, you're getting around that veteran title now, you know, so.
Right.
I was happy to see that. Yeah, and obviously, Jerry, when Blake is back full time, he'll be that leader. He'll be that signal caller, and Zay will be running that back end. You know, and Leo's up front. Leo's the veteran up front, and he's going to keep things going up front and all that stuff. So, Jihad Ward, he was over there, you know, for Aziz. As we know, Aziz Ojulari. What happened was Aziz, he kind of strained his hamstring working out last week. Mm-hmm. They don't think it's serious. They think he'll be back in a couple of weeks. But he obviously started off on a non-football injury list. He injured his hamstring in a training exercise. So, but they expect
kind
him back.
Kind of a bummer.
That kind of sucks. I agree. That kind of sucks. But right now, they don't anticipate it being very long, Jerry. But at the same time, you have to make sure that's 100% when he comes back. Because you know how it is, Jerry. Ugh. If it's not, if they try to rush it, he jerks it. Now you're out 3 more weeks. Now you're into the season. Now you're into all kinds of crap. So let's get, there's plenty of time before the Tennessee game. Let's make sure Aziz is healed, 100% ready to go before he comes back.
The only saving grace, I'd say, is that it's linebacker. Not that he doesn't run, but it's not like running back or corner or wide receiver. You have to still be careful, but it's not the stop and go as much. You have to be concerned and be careful. But I'm just saying it's not a, you know, quote unquote skill position, if you will. Giants have signed a familiar face also, I think yesterday, Andrew Adams.
He almost made an interception. He almost had an interception today.
So what was that? Just insurance for Julian Love.
Some safety depth, Jerry, veteran. Yeah. Played pretty decent ball last few years.
I never wanted to get rid of him.
Thank you, Jerry. I remember when he got released. Right, we were like, what the hell are they releasing him for?
We're releasing the guy who had interceptions in preseason? That's weird. Yeah.
Jerry, I remember the training camp when they released him, and I was like, I kind of liked him, you know?
Yeah.
He kind of gave Tampa some pretty decent ball, you know?
And didn't he played with the threes in that last preseason game or something. Something weird happened, and we were like, why is he out there? And then he got cut.
Yeah, he got caught. We knew the sign was on a wall, right, Jerry? When that happened, like, uh-oh. Yep. Whenever you see guys with the threes in the last preseason game, you know they're in serious trouble.
Really bad.
So, anyway, he's back here. I guess, Joe Shane looked at Tampa film and said, well, this kid could give us something. He's a veteran. We need safety depth. Get him in here, you know? Unlike the previous GM who released him and cut him. Yeah. You know, and then Tampa Bay, Super Bowl champion a couple years ago, and this and that, they were playing him. So I guess somebody must be right and somebody must be wrong. Shocker. Yeah, right. Yeah. So Adams is over there. He's over here. We'll see what he has left.
Yeah.
And look, they're thin at safety, right?
Yeah.
I know they got the kid Belton, you know, the draft pick, and now Andrew Adams. So there's some depth for training camp. And we'll see how it plays out, bro. You know, we'll see how it plays out. But Cordell Flott. Made a couple of nice plays today, Jerry.
Yeah, you're saying that. Yeah.
So he had a nice couple of nice breakups, and he made a nice play. He actually made a real smart play today because, you know, not a lot of college kids recognize this right away, Jerry. I forget who the receiver was along the sideline. He makes a catch, and Cordell rolled him out of bounds. Got him out of bounds. He was in the air. I forget who the hell it was now. Okay. And he rolled him out of bounds for an incompletion. Yeah. That's a pretty headsy play, bro.
Yep.
For a rookie. You know what I mean? That's a pretty headsy play for a rookie. So, you know, I look at little things like that, and I go, oh, man, football IQ. I like it. Yeah. You know? Football IQ. Nobody gives a flying crap if you know how to do a chemistry freaking project. It's football IQ out there, you know?
Right.
I like to see that, you know?
Now, how did he look, has he put on any weight at all? Just still very skinny?
No. He looks the same. You know, he's not a big kid.
Yeah.
But he plays kind of big. You'll see more in the preseason when they're hitting. You're going to see a pretty physical kid, Jerry. You're going to see a pretty physical kid. Now, hopefully that doesn't cost him at this level with injuries. Because he's not a big kid, bro. You know?
Right.
But he plays physical, man, and he made some nice plays today. I was impressed with him, Jerry. I was impressed with him, dude. I liked what he showed today. Donnie Holmes, your boy, Donnie, you know, had the interception. You know, Donnie knows he's fighting. He wants to play Donnie, man. He fell out of favor last year. He has something to prove. He wants to be that slot guy, bro. He came out. He had a solid practice today. You know,
good. Nice, more depth. So day one in the books, you know, feel pretty good about everything right now. You know, it's day everybody's, not everybody's a winner day one, but in all seriousness, with some of the changes they've made and obviously the excitement we have with the coaching staff, what we're seeing, what you saw today, Giant fans, Giant Twitter was a very nice place today. I'll say that.
Was it very nice?
Good. Yes, very nice. Very amicable, no one fighting, just, you know, it was, you know what, Chris, it was almost what was expected happened today. It was an offense that looks like a pro offense now, and some exciting rookies that did some things, as you would say, today. So,
right.
There you go.
Good, good. Hopefully you can keep it going through this training camp.
Yep. Nice job. All right, guys. Thanks for the questions. Great job. You can tell it's training camp. We got way more than we got last week. So we'll start off. Tom Lapp, don't have a question. Just wanted to say great podcast you guys put together. Hashtag the gold standard. Excited about the upcoming season. That's the, if Twitter could be summed up in one tweet today, it was Tom Lapp's just now. It was just sunshine and rainbows everywhere. Let's see. Hunt for Five with an interesting question, Chris. If the Giants do finally get rid of Hell's Bells, how about Kashmir from Zeppelin as a replacement? Jeter used to walk up. Used it as his walk-up song many years, and it was so badass.
Yeah, I'll go with that one. That's a good walk-up song, no doubt about it.
Nice. Here's a good question from Larry at Gen 7. Is 26 loved amongst the owners in a similar way that Eli was? In other words, if he has a strong year, will it be pressure to re-sign? Well, you know, I don't want to get into the re-signing yet. But is he looked at from ownership the way Eli was?
No.
Okay.
No. That look, they love – what did you say, 26, right? They love Saquon. I mean, how could you not love Saquon? But let's not get crazy. You know, he's not in the Eli status. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Chris at 56, G-Man 64. Haven't been this excited to see a rookie in a long time. Thibodeau has my father and I both fired up. Went to training camp today wearing our Carson and Charlie Connerly jerseys. Sorry we missed you, Chris.
Oh, that's the people. Yeah, somebody was DMing me saying they saw me and they had a – I didn't see them. I told a guy on Twitter to have him yell my name, yell out. Oh, by the way, Jerry, speaking of that, so we're walking to the field and I hear, hey, Biz, you know, and it was Adriana Iafola.
Nice. That's awesome.
An absolute sweetheart. She's like, yeah. And I see a wave and I recognize her right away because she puts herself on Twitter. And I went over. So I saw Adriana, bro, you know, a loyal follower, an absolute sweetheart. So I was talking with her a little bit, and then after practice, we were sitting down. We were waiting to go to the podium for the players afterwards, and she was leaving, and I said, "Sit down, Adrian." You know, so she sat there, and we were talking some football, and she had to mention the stupid Yankees a few times. I guess she was trying to, you know what I mean? So I was like, "Oh God," you know. But Adriana, it was great meeting you today. And she kind of was like looking at her like, I guess she's looking at her, I could sit here, and I was like, don't worry about it. You know, so.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was all good with her. So she's coming down from Connecticut numerous times. Jerry, by herself, Jerry, so it's a diehard Giants fan. Dude, you could just tell talking to her. Diehard Giants fan, bro.
Yeah, you know? Adriana,
guys. Getting old and knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, yeah. So Adriana, I know you noticed already because we talked today for a while, but it was great meeting her, Jerry. And I heard a few, I heard a few other people, hey, Chris, it's done. I heard that. I looked. I'm like, who the hell's yelling at? I don't know what happened. Somebody got shy. I don't know. Then I heard, hey, Biz. I heard a Biz flying through the air. Once again, I'm looking like, who the hell's,
you know. Now, did the other reporters notice this or no?
I guess, I don't know.
I'm just curious if anybody says anything to you, like, you know, like, oh my God.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I don't know if anybody heard it. I'm sure some people probably heard it, but.
That's funny.
But because I told people, you know, give a yell out, man.
So
anybody that's going to the practices.
Yeah.
And now that I know what we're doing, we're going to be on the sidelines right in front of everybody, you know, doing these training camp practices. So give a yell out, throw a DM. Hopefully I see it on Twitter and all that. And like Adriana today, like I said, Jerry, Adriana, I ran into her, I was talking to her for a while. You know, so she's an absolute sweetheart. So it was great seeing her because Jerry, we know her for a while. You know, she's been on the podcast with us, you know, asking questions, and you know, I absolutely love the girl. Right up to the point where she mentioned her stupid Yankees, and I was like, oh,
she's the one who got into the car accident and made sure to get her Buffoon Crew bumper sticker or a magnet off the car to bring back with her.
Yeah.
Thank God she was okay.
Yeah, yeah. So thank God she looked. No, she looks great. Everything's good. So she is a diehard fan, bro. Diehard.
Good stuff.
So Adriana, as you know, it was nice meeting her. I'm gonna be seeing her. She's coming like three more times to camp. I'll be hooking up with her a few more times. Hook it up. It sounds like.
No, I know.
You know what I mean. I'll be seeing her a few more times. So.
Okay. So Chris's question was, in your minds, what is a reasonable sack total for Thibodeau this year? Keep up the great work with the show and the magazine. Thanks for the calendar. You got it. I would say reasonable. Like, expectations are going to be like 10 to 12, but reasonable. I think if he puts up a year like Ojulari had last year, I'd be satisfied with that. 7.5 to 9 sacks, something like that, in that range.
Yeah, so, I would say 6 to 8. That would be like a reasonable number. It's a rookie, man. It's a rookie.
Yeah, yeah. Lisa, who's going to get a lot of attention. Lisa at SoBad6. Hey, guys, I'm getting my classic jersey made for me by my son. Special order with Manning on the back. That's not a like spoiler alert. Lisa's getting Eli. What classic jersey will you guys be getting? Lisa, to be honest with you, I'm just not a jersey guy anymore. If I was, it'd be Sims or LT. It's just I'm not going current player forward. I'm going backwards, so. It could be Manning. Manning. It's not going to be Manning. It would be Sims or Taylor.
Lisa, I think you know it's not going to be Manning, right? There's no way Jerry's getting an Eli jersey. That you know, Lisa.
You're the best, Lisa. Thomas Doyle, why is Kadarius Toney so sexy? Godfather of Brooklyn. Here we go. What are some of the key battles in camp us fans should pay close attention to? Also, with the passing of the great Paul Sorvina from Goodfellas and Kill the Irishman, are must-watches this weekend. Hashtag Buffoon Crew, hashtag Paizan.
Sounds like Paul Sorvina didn't get the Giant Insider, Jerry.
I was going to say that. I don't know if you wanted to just repeat that, but or Godfather. Like, maybe your homework assignment is to get the Giant Insider, buddy, because Chris wrote a whole article on it. Well, give him one, Chris. Give him one. Key back.
Yeah, we'll call Del Flott and Donnie Holmes. That'll be one of them. I'm interested to see the Shane Lemieux, Zito's competition with him too.
Yeah.
It looks like Aaron Robinson's got that locked up. Right now, Aaron Robinson's the front runner, opposite of Adoree Jackson.
Yeah. Yep. But Godfather, good call. Good.
What was that? The Paulie Sorvino? What did he say about
Paul
Sorvino?
You're just saying Paul Sorvino passed away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought he had a question about it. Okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's him, Ray Liotta, my God. So.
Yeah, crazy. Man, there's a lot of them. A lot of them dropping, huh?
Sucks.
Paulie Walnuts.
Conn. Oh, yeah, right. James Caan a few weeks ago. Unreal.
James Caan. Unbelievable.
Nice job by you, Godfather. Kyle Hyde. My friend and I plan to attend the Washington game in MetLife this season. Neither of us have ever been. Do you guys have a favorite section to sit in?
Yeah, not the upper deck.
I was going to say lower level. Stay away from the upper deck. Sucks at MetLife. It's just, you're so far away. If you can, even if you're in the end zone and you'll pay cheaper for the end zone, try to get lower level because the upper deck, it's just not Giant Stadium, guys. It isn't. So, Craig, can you confirm Tony has the correct correct size cleats, complete with laces for camp? I'll hang up and listen. Let's see. All right. Josh Stanton, Jerry, Chris, what's more likely? Kayvon has 10 sacks. Robinson scores 10 touchdowns. Jerry, along with the rest of us, watch the Giants dismantle the Titans and immediately start preparing for the playoffs. Hashtag best pod in Giants Nation. I'm going to go 3. I think the most likely thing out of those 3, Kayvon getting 10 sacks, Robinson scoring 10 touchdowns, and then the Giants beating the Titans and everybody planning playoff trips, that's more likely. I think that could happen as far as the beating the Titans and then being a complete buffoon right after the game's over. I think that's the most likely. James F., now that the Giants released the retro jerseys for sale, give me your top 5 of retro players' jerseys. You mean like outside Giant? That's tough, man. I was a retro jersey guy like when I was in my teens. Like now I'd have to sit down and think about retro jerseys. I never wore other teams' jerseys, even if I liked it. Like I would do that with basketball or I would do it with basketball. It's probably the only sport I would do it with. But I never did that with football. I always wore Giants. That's tough, man. That's a good question, but I just feel like, I don't know. I'd have to sit down and think about it. Like, I guess the easy one is like the Raiders white with the silver letters that they had in the 60s. That's a nice one. But I would never buy it. So I'd go that one. I don't know, Chris, if you have any thoughts on that.
I had an old Jack Tatum and Jack Lambert. I actually got a Jack Lambert jersey, the Steelers, with him signing it, whole Hall of Fame.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
Yeah, but I'm not into jerseys like anymore. I really don't. I always had giant jerseys. You know,
when does that stop? I'd say it stopped in my 30s. I was like, I'm not wearing jerseys anymore. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what happened? I started buying jerseys, and the guys started getting hurt right afterwards. I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm done with jerseys.
Right. Or I felt like if I bought a jersey, the guy would get hurt. Yeah, like the guy would get hurt or traded or cut. It's like, I'm not doing this anymore. There was that one Giant fan a couple years ago. He had it was on Twitter. It was Olivier Vernon, Odell, Snacks Harrison. Like, oh, my God, he had every jersey. Everybody was gone. He had like 9 jerseys. Every player was gone. So I just buy shirts and say Giants.
I got the Tuck jersey, got hurt, and then he was on the Raiders. I'm like, what the hell?
Right. Right. That's awesome. Let's see. Annapolis Mike. Any observations from practice about players who've transformed themselves physically over the offseason in either good ways or bad ways? Thanks, Mike Heisner, Annapolis, Maryland.
I haven't really noticed that yet. Saquon looks like he trimmed down a bit, but he's still, you know, like monster legs and all that stuff. Yeah. But he looks like he got even more muscular, Saquon. Daniel looks the same this year. Last year he came in bulked up. I'm trying to think of somebody else. Dexter looks the same. Leo looks the same. Oh, Aziz. I mean, I saw Aziz in the OTAs. He was definitely bulked up.
Yeah.
He definitely gained about 5-10 pounds of muscle.
Right.
I'm trying to get somebody else. I have to put it on Twitter because I'm trying to think. You know, I'm looking at everybody today. I didn't notice really any differences.
Yep.
As far as that goes.
Allison, wide receiver camp battle prediction. Do you think Sills cracks the 53 already? The Sills army's out there.
He had a touchdown today, Jerry.
Yeah.
He's wearing 13 now, by the way, Sills. Nice. Do I think he makes the 53? I think he has a shot.
It'd be nice for a non-drama queen to wear number 13. Boom.
Boom.
Drop that.
Boom. One.
There you go. All right.
Just drop that right there. Boom.
I'll say it. Eli, DJ, and the G-Men. Okay, we all love the classic 80s unis, but NYG are very traditional. The current unis will never leave because we won recent Super Bowls with them. Well, they won it with the 80s ones too, though. I love currents. What do you guys think? I just want to win. I mean, I'm superstitious. If we won, I would say my least favorite uniform is probably the Giants white with the red numbers, right? Like, out of all of them, that's my least favorite. But if they won, I would keep wearing that uniform until we lost.
I know.
Just don't care.
Right, Jerry? It's all about winning, right?
Right.
If they came out in Yankee pinstripes uniform and they won, I'd be like, oh, that's great. You know, I mean, it's all about.
They came out wearing hats that say Boston, helmets that say Boston sucks, and they win. Chris is like, you know what, guys, just keep wearing.
Okay, I'll deal with the Boston sucks. You know, well, let's put another Lombardi trophy in it, you know. So I was never into that. Oh, these are pretty uniforms. I was never really into that. It's just like,
I mean,
we just win.
Yeah, the nicest uniform I think the Giants have are the throwback whites, the all white. Where we would wear it when we played Dallas in the 80s. I think that is a flawless uniform.
Oh, even nicer than the blue ones, Jerry, in the 80s?
I do. I like those. I don't know why.
Really?
Just love them. Yeah.
Nice.
And, you know, we really, I think, won maybe one, maybe two games in them. So if they put those aside for 10 years, I'd be like, you know, guys, let's put them aside. We just can't win in them. So
did you like those red jerseys that year they broke them out?
Oh, my God. I hated them.
Yeah. Most people didn't like them, man.
And the Giants, I think, wore red in like the 40s for a little bit. So wasn't like out of nowhere.
Yes, yes.
But we're not big red. We're big blue. I mean,
big red.
And that's another jersey. They only won one game in those. They only beat Dallas in 2005. They never won in those. They got smoked by the Eagles twice, beat by Dallas. Like, those jerseys sucked. This is before I worked for the Insider, obviously. I emailed the Giants about it. And I was like, guys, can you please lose the red jerseys. Guy wrote back like, you need to stop being so superstitious.
Yeah. Probably Mara.
Probably was. It was Mara's burner
email account. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll do a couple more. That's his son, Theta's son. I don't know how to say this. Sorry, buddy. Your thoughts on how Martindale's system and the addition of Thibodeau will affect Leo Williams? He seemed to really thrive in Graham's defense. You think that continues now? Prediction on Leo's 2022 sack total.
Yeah, I think Leo and Aziz, Thibodeau and Aziz, I think, you know, guys blitz it from the slot. I think it's going to really help Leo in a lot of one-on-ones. Sack total, I'm going to say Leo gets 7 or 8 this year.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I mean, wow, that'd be really good if Ojulari can get around 8 and Thibodeau can get 6. Like, all of a sudden, look at this. Might have something here. Gordon Anderson, can you get me a ticket for the game in London? As yesterday's sale was an absolute joke. # Scottish buffoon. Sorry, man. Try to find one more. All right. Tino James. Hey, fellas. When we draft players, the expectation is for them to improve year by year. Give me a few second and third year guys you think will progress to the point they can make an impact on this year's team. Thanks. # Big Blue. # Buffoon Crew. # Hope to see you at FanFest. So obviously, look, you said McKinney, right? Yeah. But I'm going to go with another guy that we actually had as Rookie of the Year 2 years ago and who made an interception today. I think, honestly, Darnay Holmes can make an impact on this team, especially given a clean slate. Like, he was, I was going to say before, because I don't want to say it again, but because I've said it in the past, game one last year, he was instantly put in Joe Judge's doghouse. He did something in that game. I think he committed a personal foul, and it seemed like he was in the doghouse the rest of the year. And I never understood that with coaches. Like, you do that to a young player. Maybe there's other stuff behind the scenes that's going on that we don't know about, but it just seemed like a weird thing when he had a pretty good year his rookie year. I mean, we had him as best player out of that draft class that year. Maybe not now. It's Thomas McKinney. But that year, he was probably best. So I'm going to go with someone like that. I'm going to go with a little off. McKinney's easy. Thomas is easy.
Yeah.
Holmes can make an impact if he's healthy and he stays in the good graces of this coaching staff.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one. Yep. I'm trying to think of somebody else. His second or third year impact. To me, the biggest impact for a second year guy is going to be Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. All right, dude. That's good. I think we'll finish up here. You know what? One more. Brian Porras. Dying to ask, because I think you made when you made the comment about the throw on Jones, he made a comment like dime or something. Perfect dime. The throw to Toney, I'm sorry. Do you get the sense that Dable and Kafka's opinion of Jones changed at all after watching him on film?
Oh, they knew about it. What do you mean?
Like, I guess the consensus around the league is they didn't know about him, but after they watched him, think they're more excited, or you just think, like, I think it's going to be the proof is in the pudding on the field. That's what I think that's – I think my answer think to that the, question is it's going to matter what he does on the field.
Yeah, let's play to his strong – you know, his strength and all that stuff. We'll try to make it work on the field, yeah.
Yeah.
They knew about him. Trust me, folks. They know. Of course, they looked at a lot of film when they got here, and obviously, but, you know, it's not like it was some guy they didn't know anything about, you know, so – what they do, they looked at the film and they liked him. I know that for a fact. They liked him.
Yeah.
When they got hired, Dable and Shane got hired, they liked Daniel. They think Daniel could do a lot of good things. I could tell you that for a fact. It wasn't all. Let me say I really like Daniel to try to get this job. No, they like Daniel. They think Daniel could do a lot of good things. Now, whether that happens, we'll see. Like Jerry just said, the proof is in the pudding starting September 11th, bro. You know? Yeah.
Yep.
Dable's going to do his best to try to take Daniel Jones. Look, he took Josh Allen to the next level the last 2 years. He's gonna, obviously not Josh Allen type, but he's going to try to take Daniel to that next level, you know, to make him a very, very good, you know, make him a good quarterback in this league. And we will see if that happens.
Good stuff, dude.
He's going to have some weapons. He's going to have the system. Hopefully, an improved offensive line. We'll see, Jerry. Hopefully, a healthy Saquon. You know what I mean, bud?
Yeah.
A healthy Saquon.
Yeah.
You know, a healthy Saquon helps you.
a little bit. Kind of dynamic player.
Right. He can help you, a healthy Saquon. So,
I mean, look, day one in the books. I mean, look, what else could you ask for? A little excitement. You see some improvement, but come on. We're finally here now. And it seemed like an exciting practice and a Franchise on the upswing, guys. We really believe that. So,
yeah, let's Jerry, the next time we talk next week, let's hope it's progress. You know, hey Chris, what's going on here? Well, this unit's playing well. These guys are playing well. Everything's like progress, Jerry. Not like, oh God, hey, fumbled snaps, interceptions, or guys getting roasted on go route. Progress. That's what we're looking for in this training camp going into the season.
Question for you. When you got there and you started filming right away, do you just film a bunch of stuff and then throw it out? I'm just curious. Like, it looked like a Gatling gun of filming plays. It was awesome. What is your process? Like, you just film a bunch and then put out what's useful?
Yeah, just keep the good one. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Of course, in training camp, they don't really tell you to put the cameras down, which I forgot. I think I mentioned that. They tell you,
I was surprised to see you so early in practice filming.
Early in practice, you could always film. Then usually you have to put them down, But if I remember right now, training camp, you could basically film most of it, It's only really the weeks leading up to the games you cannot film anything as soon as they start preparing. You film a bunch. Obviously, when they go into team drills, you film a bunch of plays, Jerry. And some you keep, some you don't,
Yeah, I was just curious.
And of course, the one I didn't film was the Kadarius Toney one, right in front of me. But I did get I got the Wandell touchdown. I got the Saquon touchdown, I think, right?
You did. Yep.
And I got the Donnie interception. So sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, dude.
It's 3 for 4. That's 750. That's pretty good.
Maybe if I wasn't so much of an idiot yelling at the ref that he's got his 2 feet down, I would have had that on film.
I think that was more important, Chris. Put your stamp of approval on the touchdown.
Nice stuff.
All right, we'll probably catch up mid next week again, guys. We'll try to drop these a little earlier in the week, especially with a bunch of practices between now and next Tuesday, Wednesday. So we'll figure it out.
Yep.
All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. Godfather of Brooklyn, MAGZTER. All right, guys. Remember, Sundays are Giant Days, baby. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.